On this week's episode of Card Subject to Change, the Three Stooges are back to discuss promos and professional wrestling. You know what really grinds my gears? Wrestling podcasts. Every week, it's the same three lame guys talking about wrestling. Do these idiots really know what they're talking about? Probably not. After all, they're not LA Knight. Yeah. So what all of you need to do is grab your popcorn and sit down and listen up. Yeah. Let's throw it to the mo of the group, the Honorable Nick Bull.
Yeah!
Welcome to the Subject to Change. Oh, that was a razzling intro there. Also joining me, Stripe, Chris, and of course, the Wizard CZ. Fellas, how y'all doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. Good. Awesome. I'm excellent. I'm ready to go tonight.
I'm a little road weary, but I'm in a great mood, ready to talk about promos.
CZ just said it. Topic of tonight's show is the promo show. I mean, promos are such a key and inordinate detail of wrestling. It's often overlooked. You know, how many times have we said, as a wrestling fan, about a certain guy or a certain girl, man, if they could talk, if they could keep people's interest, they would be this much better. Some people, and sometimes it pushes to the front. It's a beautiful thing, this promo thing is, but it's also something that, if not done right, you could just completely shoot yourself in the foot.
Absolutely. The nice thing is, this is a topic that's going to keep on giving. This is not going to be the only time we talk about promos, but it is the first time. I've got a few in mind to talk about. I know you boys do. We didn't really talk about who's going to start things off, but I'll let you guys pick if you want to, whoever wants to start the ball, if you want me to. Let's talk promos. Let's bring some up.
CZ, I think I'm going to throw it to you. I have you go first. You're the, I think you're the patriarch, I believe.
All right. I am totally down with that.
More like the matriarch.
The matriarch. There we go.
Whoa.
Whoa.
I'm gonna start here in the modern era. We're gonna just, you know, we talked about the bloodline a couple weeks ago. Let's bring that back up. One of the best promos of the last couple of years has to be that SmackDown promo where Jay just wasn't feeling all that oozy. You know, the best part of that for me was, you know, it was Sammy who said the word oozy, but it was Roman that really got everybody to break on that. Sammy started it, but when Roman said, is that it, Jay? You're just not feeling oozy? That's when everybody broke character. That's what made it memorable for me and what makes it stick out as one of the first ones I want to talk about tonight.
And that's the thing about Sammy's. No, go ahead, Nick Bull. Go ahead.
I was going to say what that promo did for the bloodline was introduce kind of like a little bit of humor to it. It had been so stoic and serious this whole time, right? But welcoming Sammy aboard, asking him if he's feeling oozy, kind of injected some humor into the storyline, and I think it gave it a new heartbeat.
Absolutely. I think it did too. It pumped some fresh life into the whole bloodline story. Sammy had been trolling around the bloodline for a while, but that's one of the great things about Sami Zayn is he can be hilarious when he's on his game and when they let him go.
And that's the thing about Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn, he just has this aura about him that he can be serious, but then he's also got that side of him that he can totally be serious, but and everybody else thinks that he's joking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, not to interrupt you guys, but I don't know what you guys think, but I can, instead of talking about it, I can actually play it. I don't know how you guys feel about that really quick.
Bring it on.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's go to a little bit of Sami Zayn here. Let's see. I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait till this ad goes through. This is all right. Hold on. This is kind of what I was not hoping for.
We're breaking new ground today.
While he's getting that ready, we're trying to add some multimedia to the show here. This is the promo show. This is the Card Subject Podcast. We want to thank you for downloading, liking, and listening. I am the Honorable One, Nick Bull. Also joining me is Scratch Chris Angle and the Wizard CC.
And of course, you can catch
Sami Zayn. Check this out. If you have a beard, you have to get our sample pack and try 24 different products for only.
You know what? We're not going to do that.
Yep, all right.
Yo, I have a beard. I don't need it.
You do have a beard. Okay. Now we got it. We don't have the beard. We're done with the beard care. All right. Let's do this.
He's
here
gone
we go.
Through a lot. He's just not himself right now. That's it. Okay. He's just not. Lately, he just hasn't been very oozy.
Okay, and that doesn't do any justice. I mean, that one, it's basically the what tells the story is the face of Roman Reigns just kind of breaking that character, breaking that third wall, and it's just Sammy being Sammy.
Absolutely, and you know I love you know you've got the Bloodline who are so serious, so. I mean, it's a fun story. It's a great story. But they are just they are the straight men. They are the serious ones. They're there. They're the bad guys. And to see them do everything in their power not to crack up just because of one word, Usy. And it didn't happen. Every single one of them. Jay had to turn around, and Roman's like, no. You stay right here. Turned him back. Facing the camera, so he had to force himself to do his best not to break.
And I got to give credit where credit due is. I mean, the one that did not break character at all was Solo. Solo just stood there and didn't react at all.
No, he didn't. And that's I think that. Go ahead, Nick.
I really liked, you know, we get the feeling Uzi and we get the crowd, the chant from the crowds. But I just feel, for me, I got more interested in the storyline after this promo. Maybe it was the humor amongst, quote unquote, the villains or the heel, them laughing with each other, showing a moment, oh, these guys are actually human after all. I don't know, but after this, it seemed to me like the Sammy part of the Bloodline really skyrocketed.
And I totally agree with that. It just kind of like you said earlier, it breathed that fresh air into the whole storyline, and it kind of gave it not even a new life. It gave it an extended life. It didn't really need the new life. It just gave it that little push out the window to fly further.
Yep, it did. It did. And, I mean, hey, they were in ring. All those people involved can talk on the mic. You know, got Paul Heyman, who's also involved in this. So there's a lot of good people, a lot of good talk A lot of good talkers who can talk the talk with this feud that often carries feuds. Can we think of a promo, you know, regardless of who it was going to be good? Can't miss promo for you guys. Because I've got my nominee. I've got my nominee with my first one.
Hit us, Nick. Go ahead.
I don't know if there's another promo quoted more by this guy, but it's Dusty Rhodes and the Hard Times promo, Daddy-O.
Hard Times, baby. I think everybody in that knows professional wrestling has a Dusty Rhodes impression. I don't care who you are. That's the one man that is impersonated by everyone.
You have to do a Dusty. CZ and I used to work with a gentleman, Dave Gatherite, who had, I think, the best Dusty Rhodes imitation I've ever heard. It was smooth as silk. You didn't know if it was Dusty or Dave. Right, CZ?
Oh, absolutely. I remember that well. If he was just on mic and you didn't see him doing his Dusty impression, you would have thought it was Dusty Rhodes.
But that Hard Times promo, I think that Hard Times promo is, I mentioned that it's a pretty wide known one, but it's often quoted. And you say Hard Times, everybody knows, oh, that's Dusty Rhodes promo. Right. I think that's kind of the base that people can kind of go back and channel this promo when you want to get, you know, really personal. When you want to get personal and connect to that fan, you're not degrading anybody, bringing up common issues to the common people, and they're just agreeing with you. So, this Hard Times, I know he's always been the common man, the American dream, but I think that's what, you know, sets him apart from everybody else back at that time. You know, him and Flair were great. Don't get me wrong on the mic. But Dusty is a promo, and regardless of what feud he was in, he drew me in. He would get me in. It didn't matter if he had Sweet Sapphire or not.
Sweet Sapphire, baby.
Fighting the Teddy DiBiase and Virgil. It didn't matter. He always drew me in with the way he could talk, Southern twang, a little bit of a lisp. But when Dusty spoke, I listen, and I think for the most part, most of the wrestling world, wrestling fans listen.
Well, yeah, I think the one thing with pay attention.
Exactly. I think the one thing with Dusty Rhodes is he was a common man, you know, and he was the son of a plumber.
He was working for real. He's just a common man working hard with his hands.
Working very hard.
I can never remember the exact line. I've wined and dined with kings and queens. I've slept in alleys and eaten pork and beans.
Pork and beans.
one of my favorite lines. And you know, Hard Times get it. Hard Times when a computer steals your job and sends you home unemployed. That's Hard Times, Daddy.
Hard Times, Daddy. I love it.
I do too. So, I'm a sucker for the Hard Times promo.
So I'm gonna go on the same lines as CZ. I'm gonna go with someone that does what he can to kind of break everybody, to get them to break character, and I'm gonna go with Santino Marella.
Yes,
Santino.
I was trying to do his music.
Santino just went and he just tried his darndest to get everybody to break character. The one that sticks out in my mind is gonna have to be this one.
My name is Santino Marella. For the last 12 months, you people have shown me nothing but misrespect. You cheered when I lost my Intercontinental title. and you giggled when I entered my scrotus region. So now it's my turn to have a little bit of fun. You see, I have a secret. A secret I want all the children to pay close attention to. A secret regarding Santa Claus.
Whoa, whoa, Santino. Are you sure you want to do this?
I love you more than anything in the world. But right now, I kind of need you a little bit to shut up on your face. Anyway, the secret is, this is Santa.
Enter John Cena.
The secret is that you've never liked Santa. Years ago, you asked for that big Barbie doll house with the matching pink Barbie doll Corvette, and you never got it, did you? Who told you? How dare you? How dare you, sir? How dare you? Everyone knows there are certain things you just don't talk about, and Santa Claus is one. Clean it up.
You know what? You have a big mouth, John Cena, and there's nothing.
John Cena.
Christmas than a chance to shut it. You pick a partner and face Glamorella. You can pick anyone. Anyone you like.
And that right there, right, that right, exactly right there, I'm going to cut it off right there. That is exactly why I chose that, because when he said John Cena, John Cena tried his hardest, but he broke. John Cena. Now, I was watching video after video, and I saw one Santino actually talking to an interviewer, and he was reading an email from a viewer from this interview, saying that he couldn't call John Cena John Cena anymore. This person that emailed him said he called John Cena John Cena for 15 years. I mean, how do you not put Santino Marella in that? I mean, that guy's got charisma just coming out of his ears.
He does.
I just hearing his voice again, and you pick a partner and you pick on Glamazella. I just love it. I absolutely love Santino Marella. Loved him when he was Santina. Remember that?
Yes. Oh, I was just Santina. About to mention that.
Wasn't
WrestleMania?
Santina? Wasn't Santina a world a women's champion?
No. Santina Marella. No, Santina in the WrestleMania was Santino.
I don't know. Santina Marella, when he came dressed up as his sister, when she came out, she was in the Women's Battle Royal at WrestleMania to crown Miss WrestleMania.
That's right, Miss WrestleMania.
You know, the relationship between Santino and Beth Phoenix, when Beth Phoenix got eliminated from that Battle Royal, the look she gave Santina was just shooting daggers.
And if I remember right, that was the first ever Women's Royal Rumble that they had, wasn't it?
No, this was at WrestleMania. This was
It was a Battle Royal.
That's right. Okay.
You know, I'm going to transition from there. We're talking about John Cena.
You mentioned Santino.
Yeah, you know, that promo that you just played with John Cena. I've got a John Cena promo that I really love that I wanted to bring up in this particularly. We're going to go back in time about 4 or 5 years before the Roman Empire, before the Bloodline. It's No Mercy, John Cena taking on Roman Reigns. And the fourth wall gets broken here because Roman forgets his lines. So John goes, it's a promo, kid. You got to learn to do one eventually. Hello, fourth wall. That was masterful. I watched it recently. The back and forth between the two of them, I think, was very well done.
23, I'm exposing fake games, and this one is not.
Because Cena is just on fire and ripping into Roman Reigns. I don't know if you guys remember that, but
I'm glad you brought up John Cena, CZ. I don't have a Cena promo per se, but this man does not get enough credit. Think how many times he went out there. The crowd wanted to eat him alive. They would try and hijack his promos, and he still came out on top looking like a rose. Seriously.
And this was Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm talking like the mid-2000s and on, you know, to like 2012. The crowd wanted to eat him alive. They were sick and tired of John Cena. You know, the John Cena sucks. That kind of started up then. But, man, I give a lot of credit to Cena. He can, with a live microphone, man, he can diffuse any situation with the fans. And to a fault, he's kind of too honest at times, right, with the fans. That's what makes him so good in the connection. But I'm glad you brought him up. See, he does not get enough credit for what he can do on the microphone.
I completely agree.
And remember, this is the Roman Reigns era where Roman Reigns kind of had the John Cena syndrome. Everybody was booing him, but he was getting shoved down our throats. Everybody, you know, he was talking about, you know, suffer and succotash and all kinds of stuff. And everybody just kind of turned their noses at Roman Reigns because, you know, he was Vince's boy. He was getting, you know, shoved in our faces every week.
You're absolutely right. Angle. I'll tell you why. Roman, you're right. The fans were getting sick of Roman. Seth Rollins had moved on and done his thing. Dean Ambrose had kind of moved on and done his thing. Roman Reigns obviously won the divorce settlement with the Shield. He got to keep the ring gear and wrestle with that for a while. And I think maybe that's why the fans got sick of Roman to a certain extent. It's like, is this guy always going to be this guy that was from the Shield instead of a breakout character like he's become? So, excellent point at Cena in this promo, and then Reigns, how far he has come with his promo skills.
Oh, leaps and bounds. I mean, I don't think until he got the mouthpiece like Paul Heyman, I don't think his promos really never excelled. Just because that learning tree that he is under with Paul Heyman. And I mean, you know, Roman Reigns talked, you know, on SmackDown of being under the learning tree of Dusty Rhodes. And I don't really know if he just didn't grasp what Dusty was possibly saying. But I think ever since, you know, he got with Paul Heyman, his promo skills have grown leaps and bounds.
Couldn't agree more.
I like how you point that out. That's a great point, CZ. And with having Heyman, it's kind of given the – with having Heyman there, I'm trying to put this into words. It kind of gives Roman more of the mystique, so when he talks, people listen. When Roman talks, he's not out there wasting time and trying to be fun. Like, he's very direct to the point with the character of the Bloodline. And when he talks, you listen because he doesn't ramble on all the time. So bringing Heyman there with him, having Heyman just increases that storyline even more. But you're right. Heyman, the learning tree, and, you know, and all those guys, Roman,
I think we lost Nick. You there, Nick?
I think he's having a little technical issues. He is
roving. So, really quickly, I just want to pull something up. I did have another promo ready on standby. This is actually, speaking of Paul Heyman, this is ECW One Night Stand 2005. If you remember this one, so let's go ahead and hear this one.
And I was gonna take the high road and just say thank you and leave.
Don't take the high road, Paul.
But I have something to say to you.
as he turns and points to JBL.
You see, I've waited a long time to say this to you, Eric Bischoff. But in case you don't notice, it's not Paul Heyman with his tail between his legs going to a WCW pay-per-view. So, Edge, I know nobody with a written promo has the balls to say this to you, but I have two words for you.
I mean, Paul Heyman, in my mind, is probably one of the most under... Well, I don't even think he's underrated because he is on everybody's radar for you know, for promos.
He is. He's been the mouthpiece of Brock Lesnar, mouthpiece of Roman Reigns. He is brilliant with that microphone in hand. The man's a genius.
And that he is.
I'm glad you included the part in the promo about JBL. That was always my favorite line from that promo. That the only reason why you were WWE champ for a year is because
And remembering that for back from 2005, I remember literally swallowing something at that time and then spitting it right back out when he said that. Because, you know, at that time, everybody was like, oh, Triple H is doing, you know, Stephanie at that time. And so he's got that golden shovel, you know, trying to bury people, and everybody knew it.
The fabled golden shovel.
That's right. Nick, did you have another promo in mind that you wanted to talk about?
I remember the first time I seen it. It's a Flair promo. And not the limousine ride. And that's probably the most quoted one. But I had to do some research when I was a kid. When Ric Flair said, hey, I'm having a hard time keeping these alligators down. As a kid, I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah.
Is it? As an 8 or 9 year old kid, I had no idea what that meant. You know, obviously I figured it out in the years after, but I always thought that was cool. Was cool, composed, Ric Flair. He's the man that men want to be, and who women want to be with. And he is losing his mind. I can't remember if it was on Solo or Shivani.
I think it was Shivani. Is that when he started taking off his clothes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's, that's the thing about the alligator promo. Lately, I've seen sports clips where locker rooms, like football locker rooms, are actually, you know, doing that promo. And Ric Flair has not only become, you know, a professional wrestling, he's become, you know, inside the mainstream media just because of his drip, his, you know, just his appearance. And Ric Flair is just being Ric Flair.
Ric Flair's promos, much like, you know, people, fans of Ric Flair, man, they bring fans together, all walks of life, you know, black, white, brown, yellow. Everybody's a Ric Flair fan. Everybody knows who Ric Flair is. And just about anybody can identify with any promo he did, even though he did the kid stealing,
wheeling and dealing,
you know, all of that. People can still, you know, kind of have that connection with them, even though they know they'll never ascertain to be Ric Flair. They'll never be Ric Flair.
And you can't forget Nick Bull. It's the longest line, oldest ride.
Woo! In the park.
Woo! Woo!
And I'm not talking about Splash Mountain, ladies.
No.
Now, I'm glad you're talking about Ric Flair, because one of the ones that I wanted to highlight today is Ric Flair in the WWE Royal Rumble 1992.
Yeah.
He wins the Rumble. One of my all-time favorite lines, with a tear in my eye.
In my eye.
This is the greatest day of my life.
And if you think about it, I mean, he had the two biggest wrestling titles around his waist at that time.
He did.
He did.
Think about that. The two most sought-after belts in wrestling at that time, the big gold. I know 10 pounds of gold has a longer lineage, but big gold. And then the WWF Winged Eagle. Unbelievable. I'm glad you mentioned that promo, CZ. Go back and watch. Bobby Heenan is $1 million in it, because I think he's real. He's being emotional. He's being emotional, him and Henning. When Flair wins, Bobby Heenan says yes at the top of his lungs 28 consecutive times. Yes! Yes! 28 consecutive times, ladies and gentlemen. I went back and counted. And
he did.
That's a magical moment in the history of wrestling. And then that magical moment of Flair, you know, winning Vince's title and then going back and cutting the promo. It's canon. Everybody should know that, you know, just know that, right?
Just like everyone should know the one that you've talked about with Dusty and the Hard Times.
Hard Times, yep.
I mean, all these ones, they've all had great, great talking points to them. You can take something great away from them. I really can't knock any of the promos that we brought up.
No.
You know, the promos that get bad are maybe when the crowd hijacks the show. But I look at the promo. I look at the promo like this sometimes. The promo's kind of like that company's last gasp to get me involved in the feud.
I agree.
If I don't care about wrestler A and wrestler B and their program they have coming up at show 1, 2, 3, why would I want to watch these guys? I don't care about their work, really. But if they go out there and have good interaction back and forth on the microphone, whether it be through a mouthpiece or on their own, you might get me involved a little bit more. You'll get me in. That's, to me, like the promo is the life preserver for me. That's the last thing to keep me interested in a feud or something that I don't care about.
And I mean, I always thought of a promo, you know, whether it be redundant or not. I mean, you go back and look at old school, like territory promos and what have you, you always hear Saturday at the Memorium, you know, blah, blah, blah. This Saturday, January 15th, I'm going to go down there to the Memorium on January, you know. They repeat yep. themselves because yeah. that's what drove ticket sales. That's what drove people to come to the event. That's what stuck in your brain was, oh, shit, I got to get down there because I want to see wrestler A beat up wrestler 2 because his mama made fun of his mama, and they're going to be at the Emporium on this day.
And he's going to get his revenge. He's going to get him back then.
Exactly. Yep. And that's the thing I think is kind of lost a little bit today. Just, I mean, yeah, obviously times have changed, but you don't have your territory promos. You don't, I mean, and I guess, you know, wrestlers kind of, you know, they have, you know, what they have with their promos now, but I think that's lost. You know, that basically you have a problem. You're going to make a solution. And it's going to be this day and this time and this place, and that's it. Keep repeating the place because you want people to be there.
You brought up some great points there, Stripes, when you talk about territory, you know, promos and stuff. That's where guys, as you said, they repeat it, they learn it. They're also salesmen. They know they're trying to sell to a bigger card, correct?
Exactly.
In doing so.
Well, gentlemen, we've been going about a little over a half hour here. I want to pause. We do want to take a quick break, talk about the website a little bit. I don't want to stop our momentum because we're going to come right back. We're going to talk a little more promos, but I think we need to pause for just a minute, okay?
Part of the Four Frequency Sake Podcast Network. You're listening to Cards Subject to Change with the fabulous Freebirds of podcasting, Chris Stripes Angle, the Honorable Nick Bull, and the Wizard CZ, bringing you the best podcast wrestling action in the Quad Cities. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check out the FourFrequencySake.com for our archives and other great podcasting content.
All right, we are back with the Card Subject to Change podcast. Like she said, be sure to check us out on the website and anywhere you get your podcast. Mr. Angle, I have a question for you.
I have an answer, possibly.
All right.
You want to wrestle me? You want to wrestle me, Memphis style?
What? What? Wait a minute.
We're talking promos. That is the late, great Andy Kaufman from a promo on Jerry Lawler during their big feud back in the, was it the early 80s, the late 70s? I believe you're correct. I believe early 80s is right.
Early 80s happened on Letterman, correct? So I don't
think that's kind of...
And, you know, I want to say the 83-84 range, but don't quote me. That'd be my guess if I had to guess. You're absolutely right. What made that feud go was that there was a personal physical altercation, correct?
Correct.
And then both guys are animated. Both guys like to tell stories. So when you've got two sides going like that, it's just money to be made.
And the thing that I love the most, you know, we're looking at matches today where we're going to see Seth Rollins go against Logan Paul. Logan Paul is coming into his own as a wrestler, but at the end of the day, he's more celebrity than wrestler. Same thing with Andy Kaufman back in the day with Jerry Lawler. Andy Kaufman's a comedian. His whole wrestling shtick was he was the intergender champion, so he would wrestle women. And Jerry Lawler got sick of it, slapped the taste out of his mouth. Kaufman wore a neck brace for a while because of it. Right. That was a great feud back in the 80s. And it brought new eyes into the wrestling business like they're doing today with Logan Paul.
And that goes to show you.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Nick. You're good.
No. Go ahead.
And that goes to show you, I mean, in wrestling, everything comes back around. I mean, they did it not only with, you know, Logan Paul now, they did it with Johnny Knoxville. You know, the list goes on when you're bringing in guys like that for the mainstream, from the mainstream to, you know, the show. It just gets new eyes on the product, and it brings in new fans, and hopefully they'll stick around. I think that's what the ultimate goal is.
Yeah, I agree completely.
You're trying to turn on somebody to something, and like get that connection. Eyes on, and it's just going to make everything really belong. Jeremy Waller and Andy Kaufman. I would really seriously like to know how much money they made off that, because
it was
genius. That's so far ahead of its time, you know. Then you have like the hidden camera shows and the prank shows, but these two guys doing their thing and holding not just wrestling captive, but entertainment fans of the world, you know. I wish I. Several hundred thousand.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Definitely a money-making feud for its time. Definitely brought a lot of eyes into the products. And the back and forth between them, even without the physicality, the back and forth between them before the match that they had. And then what it did, you know, the wrestling fans absolutely hated Andy Kaufman, wanted to see him destroyed. He was arguably one of the greatest heels that wasn't a wrestler. And boy, did he get his comeuppance in the match, because a couple of pile drivers later, he was just completely destroyed.
And again, I'm going to bring up Logan Paul. All the wrestling fans hate Logan Paul. And what's this going to do to Seth Rollins? It's just going to elevate him more and more than what he already is. That was evident on Monday Night Raw when the crowd was going absolutely bonkers for Seth Rollins. And I mean, speaking of, you know, promos, Seth Rollins is another one of those guys. I know we haven't really spoke too much about, you know, now guys, but Seth Rollins is another one of those guys that he can just go out there and he can speak on cottage cheese.
But Strike, once upon a time, what was the strike against Tyler Black? And what was the strike against Seth Rollins? What was it? Strike against him was like he wasn't a good talker.
Yeah.
The guy could go out there and do everything in the ring. He just wasn't a good talker. Now look what he's done. He has taken that and blown that out of the water. He has surpassed that. He has overcome that obstacle. And now he's got that crowd in the palm of his hand every time he goes out there. So
I agree.
It wasn't that long ago that he was struggling with promos, and now look at him. So case in point right there. When you said Seth Rollins, I'm going to be like, you know what? They didn't think he could cut a promo when he first got in there. And that's one thing
about promos too. If you go back and look at in history, everyone has either a tagline or something they do or some crowd or interaction. If you have that, you're pretty much golden. I mean, look at LA Knight. You look at Stone Cold. What? I mean, you look at that, and now you got Seth Rollins with The Rock. Yeah, even The Rock, the millions and millions. And that's the thing. The crowd likes to participate. Because Stone Cold said so. Exactly. They like to participate. They like to be a part of the show.
Yes, you're absolutely right. They want that.
If you have that, you're going to be successful. in my opinion.
Yeah, some of the greatest people on the mic have something where the crowd is interacting with them in some way, shape, or form. I mean, you mentioned The Rock. Probably, in my opinion, The Rock is the greatest promo man of all time because of his interaction with the crowd.
Hands down.
Let me spin things a little bit on you guys, because I want to talk about a promo that I absolutely love for all the wrong reasons.
I know where this is going.
You both know where this is going.
Ooh, I have one idea. Please let me be right.
We're going to TNA, and we are going with Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner, the worst promo in the history of wrestling, or possibly one of the worst.
Art is how you interpret it, okay?
Fair.
And I think we could throw this in the category of the Ultimate Warrior weirdness ones, right?
That's true.
But one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Hey, I love this promo. Like I said, for all the
reasons. Gentlemen, if you want to take a trip back in time, I've got it pulled up. Are we ready? All right, here we go.
In a heavyweight title of sacrifice between you, Kurt Angle, and Samoa Joe. Now, before you get there, you have an important step tonight as you and X-Division champion Petey Williams take on the unlikely duo of Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe.
You know, they say all men are created equal, but you look at me and you look at Samoa Joe, and you can see that statement is not true. See, normally if you go one-on-one with another wrestler, you got a 50-50 chance of winning. But I'm a genetic freak, and I'm not normal. So you got a 25% at best at beating me. And then you add Kurt Angle to the mix, your chances of winning drastically go down. See, the three-way at sacrifice, you got a 33 1/3 chance of winning. But I got a 66 2/3 chance of winning because Kurt Angle knows he can't beat me, and he's not even going to try. So, Samoa Joe, you take your 33 1/3 chance minus my 25% chance, and you got an 8 1/3 chance of winning at sacrifice. But then you take my 75% chance of winning before you go one-on-one, and then add 66 2/3%. I got 141 2/3 chance of winning at sacrifice. See, Joe, the numbers don't lie. And they spell disaster for you as sacrifice. See, but I'm going to break it down for you, ladies. Would you rather be with me or would you rather be with Joe?
Well, I think Joe's kind of nice. I mean, you know.
So you're one of those girls that like romance. I'm going to talk to all my freaks out there. Would you rather come home to me, a genetic freak, to be satisfied every night, or go home to that fat-ass small Joe? See, tonight...
That's not very nice to say about Samoa Joe.
No, it's not.
But here's the thing.
The numbers don't lie.
That's the name of that promo. We know what hard times is. We know what numbers. Numbers don't lie. This promo gets better every time I listen to it. I'm going to give Scott Steiner some credit. He does not misspeak or stutter once.
No. No, he
doesn't. Dude, that is a good promo. I don't care what anybody says. That's a good problem.
And here's the thing. Petey Williams is just standing there. And they both got that chainmail thing over their head. So they're both looking kind of goofy.
You mean little Petey Pump?
Yes, little Petey Pump. And he's doing arm things.
He says something. I'm trying to remember what he says. But he's like, he's something about maple leaf muscle. I wish I could remember what he said off the top of my head, but he has one short line at the end, and it's like, why are you even talking or standing here other than the fact that you're somehow paired with Scott Steiner?
And I don't know
that whole thing.
I don't know if you remember, but there was some lady that was with them. I, for the life of me, I really can't like.
One of them was Madeja.
Was that it?
And one of them, he had two with him. Maybe he only had one in TNA, but I know that one of the two in WCW was Medeja.
Okay, that might have been it. I don't know. But she's just standing back there, you know, playing the straight face, and she is not breaking character at all. Like, she's just standing there back there like, yeah, you tell him, Steiner.
She's probably heard that promo like 300 times. It's just background noise to her now.
Probably. Oh my. I love it. It's
that promo's not as bad as you think it is.
No, it makes you go cross-eyed with all the math that he's doing, but he holds his own. He does a fantastic job. Like you said, he's not stuttering. He's not stammering. He cuts it like a pro.
And he's talking like this the whole time. He never breaks. It's a throwback to the late 80s and early 90s when I would yell the whole time I did my interview. I mean, oh, man. I love it.
So, CZ, you were wondering what Petey Williams said. I do have a transcript of it. Petey Williams says, "Hey, Scotty, just like you always say, Big Papa pumps your hookup. Well, the maple leaf muscle is who you need to look up.
Holler
if you hear that."
What a horrendously hilarious line.
Maple leaf muscle is who you look up. Jesus. Petey effing Williams, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! Where do we go from that? I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, Chris, we could go. I don't have any. I mean, I don't have any promos offhand than the famous now. Fire me, you mark. Fire me.
Oh my gosh,
we haven't talked about MJF and what MJF has done with the promo. He's kind of taking it to no man's land. Pushing the envelope, of course.
Yep.
Obviously, with now we know Tony's approving what he says or what he doesn't say, but really pushing the envelope with his antics, and then the promos are, I hate this term, but must-see TV. Like, oh, what segment's he going to be in, you think? Okay, I don't want to miss his promo. What's he going to have to say?
But I mean,
Maxwell Jacob Friedman, your current AEW World Heavyweight Champion.
The beautiful thing about MJF, you look at one of his more recent promos against Bryan Danielson. He is blurring the lines between reality and wrestling. He's talking about his fiance who broke things off, bringing that up into that, and Bryan Danielson played off of that. It's a masterclass in promos of the modern era, in my opinion.
But I mean, it is Tony Khan actually signing off? I think maybe just maybe MJF is doing what he wants and asking for forgiveness later. I mean, if you look at what happened with that young kid at Revolution, I mean,
yep.
It's kind of hit or miss, maybe.
Yeah, like I said, it's a blur. He's blurring the lines.
The antics are one thing, but his promo skills are second to none. And I know he pushes it with the antics and with the promos. Gotta believe Tony probably has an invisible line. Hey, you know, they got the belt on him right now. Tony's sticking his neck out for MJF. God, I would like to think the world champ is not going to go out there and burn you down like he did over the summer.
Right.
You know, I've got to compare MJF and his, especially the fire me, you mark, fire me. I've got to compare that with CM Punk. And before WWE, the pipe bomb.
That is a very good comparison.
Go ahead, Stripes.
I mean, CM Punk and MJF have similar, you know, comparisons. They have similar, you know, professional similarities. But I definitely think if MJF continues the way he's going, I think he's going to surpass CM Punk just for the simple fact MJF not only does this on TV, he's doing it at signings. He's doing it, you know, at walking to his car. You know, he takes somebody's, you know, pen and goes to sign the autograph and he just throws the pen. It's like
he is working the gimmick.
He lives the gimmick. He doesn't work the gimmick. He lives the gimmick.
He lives it. I think all the guys back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, they may not approve of his antics and some of the stuff he uses in his promos, but his commitment to kayfabe, I think they appreciate that, he's willing to go. To keep it there. I mean, I got a funny MJF story. I wasn't there. A friend of mine went to a WrestleCon or Palooza. It was one of them. And Sting was there. And I think Sting was charging, you know, $50 for the combo or whatever, the autograph and the picture. MJF was next to Sting. And his was $51. He wanted to be more expensive. He's sitting next to Sting, so he goes $1 more, and wouldn't take any less. He goes, it's 51. You know, like, oh my goodness. I mean, that's commitment.
Yeah.
That ain't just doing it when the cameras are on. He does it from the time he wakes up to the time he goes to bed.
He does. He lives. The gimmick, like Stripe said, it's amazing, and I agree with you, Nick. I think the wrestlers from the older days would not agree with some of the things he says, some of the things he does, but they would appreciate that he absolutely doesn't break kayfabe.
I may be wrong, but I don't think there is anyone in the modern era that has that level of commitment mixed with that level of just sheer not giving a shit. You know what I mean?
And has that level of heat.
Yes, exactly.
This isn't some exasperated star from 12 years ago that had a three-month run and one pay-per-view appearance. Nice. This is the current AEW champ. This guy's on TV every week or most weeks. He just came off the match of his career.
Right.
And
I mean, you even see stars like John Cena. Okay, John Cena has, you know, good and bad days every now and then. I watched a video where he was at some store and some mark was recording him. And what does John Cena do? He gets pissed and he tells him that you didn't ask me to record me, so why are you recording me? You know, John could have kept in character and was like, oh yeah, buddy, hey. But no, John Cena didn't. If that were MJF, obviously it's a little easier with MJF because you're a dick. It's a lot harder to be a face, be a good guy, and get the people to cheer you than be a bad guy. But here's the thing about being a bad guy. If you go out there and you're giving a promo, it's easy to take the low road, but when you're a good heel, you don't take that easy heat. You actually think about it and you use that mental game. And MJF uses that. MJF uses that mental game, and he not only goes for the low road, but he goes for the high road too. It's not like you go into some town and you're like, hey, the Quad City River Bandits are terrible this year. I mean, you know, in Davenport, that's gonna get, you know, people are gonna be like, boo. If you go to Chicago, Walter Payton was the worst person ever.
Right.
MJF takes it to a different level.
He's not getting cheap heat.
He does, but then he also gets the heat of. It's just a higher level of heat. he uses that cheap heat, but then he gets more heat. Like, I don't even know how to explain it.
I know what you're getting at.
No, it's it's like a wildfire is what it is.
Right.
He's taking that cheap heat and making it worse and just smiling the whole time. I'm surprised we didn't talk about him more, but I'm glad we're talking about him the way we are. I want to ask you guys a question here. How long do you give a promo before you're like, I'm done? Or what's the number one thing not to do for you to start off a promo?
That is a great question. As far as like the length of promo goes, I think it depends on the content. I think if whoever is performing the promo, they could go for an hour if they're keeping my attention. Now, do I want an hour long promo? No, absolutely not. But if they are keeping the attention and driving the story, I don't mind a 20-minute promo. I don't.
So one of the things that, I'm sorry, CZ, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, I don't, if it's falling flat, then they need to move on.
They need to wrap it up. Yeah. One of the things that really I know it's, you know, one of the big things that WWE does, and one thing that really gets the crowd going is whenever the first person doing the first promo of the night on Monday Night Raw is, "Welcome to Monday Night Raw." Woo! God, it's like, okay, we know what show we're watching, and obviously the crowd knows what show they went to because, or else they wouldn't have bought tickets. But I think that's so overdone.
I'm with you.
It gets to that point where it's like, all right, click. I mean, no matter if it's like Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch, anybody, it's just like, okay, we know what we're doing. We know what we're watching.
Here's how you fix it. It's like, we're glad you're here tonight. We're going to get right to it. You know, last week I got hot coffee thrown on my face. This week I'm going to make sure he's got creamer dripping all over when I'm done. Get your ass out here, Joe. You know, something like that. Like, you're right, overdone.
I don't even think it needs to be that. If it's something, okay, say, let's do a little fantasy booking here. If it's say Seth Rollins has beef with Logan Paul, he's already in the ring and he's ready for his promo. He just cuts right to the chase. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to tell nobody how to do their job. I'm not trying to tell, you know, but as a fan, as a avid watcher of Monday Night Raw, it's just, I think in my opinion, it's kind of redundant to be like, "Hey, welcome to Monday Night Raw." That's just me.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
I'm going to play devil's advocate with you there. Here's where it works. Here's where it works. You have Roman Reigns standing in the middle of the ring. And he doesn't say the name of the show, but he will say the name of the town and ask them to acknowledge him. That, the crowd is expecting that. That's where it works. Do I think it's getting a little overdone at this point? Sure, maybe we're at that point where he can tone that down a little bit. But he's also not doing it every promo.
I think it's part of the character. Like, he's got
exactly.
People have their phones. They have their phones whipped out. They're getting Roman right. on video saying, "Bolin, acknowledge me." Like, that's a moment for so many people. So I don't mind that drop there. That's part of it. But I know what you're saying. It's okay to drop it in. Mick Foley, it became part of his promos, right?
He would say the cheap pop,
and that'd be kind of.
I'm so glad to be here in Worcester, Massachusetts. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
But Stripes, I think you agree with me. Like when Roman Reigns, insert town name here, you know, Dallas, you know, Fort Worth, Houston, Chicago. Those people want him to say that.
Like you said, that's built into his gimmick. That's what he does. If it's like, I'm going to pick on him again. If it's like Seth Rollins coming out, and if he said, hey, welcome to Monday Night Rollins, I didn't mind that, because that was kind of part of his gimmick when it was that time, Monday Night Rollins. But when it's somebody like, I'm going to get off Seth Rollins. I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep, like Liv Morgan or somebody, and she comes out, hey, everybody, welcome to Monday Night Raw, and then she's like, certain person, blah, blah, it's just like, it's not part of, it's very manufactured. It's very, forced. It's, again, it's like, okay, we know where we are. We know what we're watching. Let's move on.
It's dear so-and-so, how are you doing?
Right.
Yes, you're right. Let's cut to the chase. I didn't know. I love your Liv Morgan. I'm going to say it sounds more like Minnie Mouse, but I like your Liv Morgan.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You know who I want to see cut a promo? That's my one time. Stripes, I know you weren't with us last week. Nick said I could play that one time per show. That's one my time. One.
Now, that reminds me, when you played that reminds me of Jeff Jarrett. Spend my day working hard on the go. With my hand on the clock, keep spinning too. Now, you're not a real wrestling fan if you don't know the exact lyrics to that song. I mean, because
I totally agree.
If you go up to someone and you're like, sing that song to me. Exactly. That's what I immediately thought of when you played that. Thank you, CZ.
I'm gonna take that one step further. I have both versions in my Spotify playlist. It's the same exact song. You cannot tell the difference between the voices, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But there is a Double J and there is a Road Dogg version on Spotify.
Listen to me. It's In Your House Too. Okay?
Okay.
Jeff Jarrett performed it. I seen him sing it.
Oh, man. Are we off the rails now?
We are off the rails.
Jeff Jarrett, Shawn Michaels. It's a great underrated match, but you also get the Jeff Jarrett live performance of With My Baby tonight.
You do.
That is true.
Well, we've talked about a whole bunch of promos. I know there's a whole bunch more we could talk about. We could be here for days just talking promos, good, bad, and ugly. Gentlemen, I think we need to put a bow on tonight and save those for another day.
CZ, before we put a bow on this, I just got to add one more thing, just really quickly. Like I said, I know you want to wrap this up and put a bow on it, but really quickly, one person I think is very overrated is this man right here. Hold on.
Mikey Whipwreck and Chris Candido are partners tonight, and well, Chris didn't abandon Mikey, but he didn't do a whole lot to contribute to the matchup. I didn't see him tag it.
Oh, hold on a second. Let me tell you just what happened out there. I went out there like a man. Me and Mikey Whipwreck, we go back a long, long, long time. I met him last November. I remember it. And we went out there, and we had one heck of a match, man to man, and we wrestled. And I came here to this town tonight again. The Eliminators, as far as I'm concerned, they're the greatest tag team in wrestling. So I gave my hand to Mikey Whipwreck as a man to be his tag team partner. And I went in there and I warmed up those two guys for him. I had him going. I was knocking stuff in, closing stuff that was open, closing stuff that was closed. I was doing everything. I tagged Mike. You know what happens? He got the crap knocked out of him. I didn't come here to lose. I'm standing on the apron. I'm going for a tag. My arm's way out there, and I get hit. And oh, look, I think I'm still bleeding. Is my lip puffed up?
Oh, okay, yo.
When you guys speaking this ear, this one's still ringing because I got hit in the ear because Mikey wasn't helping. My eye, the light is blinding me. My one eye, I think, is going to close shut. Is it swollen yet?
It's a little swollen.
Yeah. I tried the best I could do, and Mikey was no help. I didn't come here to lose, and we ended up losing. I just got here, and I already lost.
And the reason why I bring that up, that's the late great, if you don't remember, that's the late great Chris Candido. And he's very underrated. If you don't know Chris Candido, please, I beg you to go look up Chris Candido and just look at some of his things. Not only his WWF run, but his ECW run was just amazing. I would be remiss if I wouldn't bring up Chris Candido. I apologize for interrupting you, CZ, but
no,
I just had to bring up Chris Candido.
Totally understand that. oh my! I'm sorry about that.
He's dying, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm still here. I didn't die.
Yeah. Before we end the talk about promo, I mean, you brought up Candido. I would say ECW is a treasure trove of promos. That was a promo, a promo-based driven organization.
Yes.
You want to back and touch on some of that. You brought up Chris Candido at the end. And outside of Heyman, we really didn't mention anybody, but any ECW show has multiple promos. And
I think we're getting a little bit of robot Nick Bull.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit there, Bully. You're talking about
ECW. I'm gonna hop out of the studio.
All right.
But I gotta agree with Nick Bull's sentiments there. ECW definitely was like a treasure box of promos, and that's what did drive ECW. It was kind of like the old territory. Then that's where it came from. Eastern Championship Wrestling. It came from a territory, and it became a national promotion. So they had the underlying territory ideas pushing it, and it helped them, I think, in the long run, just using those promo skills. I mean,
I want to mention, we're talking about ECW. I'm not as overly familiar with ECW as I could be. So help me out here, Stripes. Who was the mouthpiece for the Dudley Boys? The dirtiest mouth I've ever heard on the
that is Joel Joel Gertner.
Yes, yes.
The quintessential stud muppet.
The man cuts a fantastic promo. It's dirty, but it's brilliant. And I remember. So I think I told this story when we reviewed November to Remember last year. I'm a photographer. I usually work in churches for what they call a directory, basically a rundown of everybody who's in the church. We take their pictures. I pulled up November to Remember while we had like a 2-hour gap in customers. And the part that I pulled up was Joel Gertner introducing the Dudley Boys. I listen to that for 2 seconds, and I'm like, I cannot listen to this in a church.
Yeah, that's not safe for your soul and not safe for work, my friend.
No, not at all.
Do not tempt fate when it comes to that.
I don't know what happened there, but I got the Nick Bull disease, and they kicked me out.
Oh, you got it kicked out now. So there you go.
Woo. I don't know what happened there.
Welcome back. We were just talking about Joel Gertner and his filthy mouth promos.
Oh my gosh! And the Dudley Boys. Why you you've got to add the Dudley Boys in there too, if you want to talk about ECW promos.
I mean, them, Raven. I mean,
Raven.
Tommy Dreamer always had a heartfelt promo. I mean, there's a whole, we could do a whole show on ECW promos. And
I know this is our podcast, but I want to quickly promote another podcast. Raven does an unbelievable podcast. If you don't want to hear a wrestler talk about wrestling, that's what Raven does. He does not talk about wrestling. He talks about wrestling adjacent, as he calls it, but it's just amazing. Like, you know, I'm sorry. Yeah, I know it's our podcast and we got to promote our podcast, but Raven's podcast is bar none, hands down, just amazing.
I'll have to give that a listen. I'm going to give a shout out. Nick got me to listening to Dax Harwood on the FTR podcast. That's a fantastic podcast as well. If you like FTR and the Revolution, the Revival.
Yep,
sorry, the revival. If you like that tag team, check his podcast out. I mean, there's so much good content out there. Since we're giving shout outs to podcasts, I listened to a podcast, a couple episodes from Sit Down Marks. The only reason I bring that up, they had a really good interview with Nico Klein, which you can find the interview he did with us in our archives, but that's worth checking out as well. They do a good job.
I have not
job
checked
on
that out.
End.
Nick Bull, since we're giving our little shout outs slash, I don't know what you want to call it, but do you have something that you're currently listening to, watching, reading? It doesn't have to be anything. What are you listening to, watching, or reading?
Oh, listening to. I got to catch up on the FTR podcast. I have been listening to the Arn show, the Arn Anderson podcast, He suffered some tragic news over the weekend. He had a son pass away.
His oldest, actually.
But if you're a fan of backstories on pay-per-views, WCW, NWA back in the day, Arn does a really good job of breaking down what was going on, who was doing what at this time. So I've listened to a couple episodes of his. I really like that. You know, watching, I'm trying to catch up on, you know, a little WrestleMania here and there. I've really ran the gamut of the spectrum here lately. I think I'm going to go back, watch WrestleMania 2. I want to see the match between the British Bulldogs and the Dream Team. Probably the best match on the card. I've been thinking about watching that match. I'll probably pop that in later tonight.
Okay, there you go. There's a little bit of history for you, some homework for you fans listening.
Yeah, there you go. You want to go watch a good tag match, and it begins the only title run of Davey Boy and Dynamite. And they had a long reign, and the records have broken since, but they would have had the longest reign for quite some time. That's a good match. It's been a while since I've seen this. I'm looking forward to going back and watching it.
All right, everybody, you've got Nick Bull's match of the week. Do your homework.
Hey, are you going to do that Blue Chew read?
Chew it and do it.
Hey, man. That's right. We're now sponsored by Blue Chew and Manscaped. So before you get yourself ready to go, get yourself ready to go. If you know what I mean.
That's what I think we should do. Not Blue Chew. But I think that's what we should do starting next week. We should all do a match of the week, not review, but just a suggestion.
Yeah, something that caught your eye that week. I absolutely agree.
I love it. Yeah. We should start that.
Yeah, I've just kind of been running the gamut at WrestleMania since it's WrestleMania season, but and just kind of going back and watching matches hadn't seen for a while. I'm like, you know what? That's a good one. Why not?
I am all about that. So that we'll do that next week. We'll do a few other things.
That's right. That's a little homework for you, CZ.
All right. I'm all about homework. I already know where I'm going to go. I've got something in mind. But I'm not going to spoil it. We'll talk about that next week. Be sure to like, subscribe, share, leave a comment. We love hearing from our fans. You can join the conversation on Discord, CSTC Podcast, Twitter, and Instagram, Card Subject Exchange on Facebook. We've got our personals out there. You can find us everywhere. But yeah, join the conversation. Let us know what you want to hear about. We'll take fan suggestions too. If there's a topic you want us to talk about, just leave it in the comment, drop us a line, send us a DM. We'll be happy to pencil that in down the road. But in the meantime, we will see you next weekend. Thanks for tuning in to Card Subject Exchange, part of the For Frequency's Sake podcast network.
Yeah!
Yeah, boy!